Well, last week we started the series called Not a Fan, and if you haven't had a chance to get the book, we do have a few more books. I'm not necessarily preaching out of this, but it goes alongside. It asks some of the same questions, and hopefully it'll push you forward into asking the question for yourself, are you a fan or a follower? Are you somebody, a fan, that where you're just kind of enthusiastic about Jesus, meaning you kind of believe in him, you want salvation because you don't want to go to hell, but then all of a sudden time gets very difficult for you and things don't make sense in life, and he asks you to do some tough things maybe, and you just kind of abandon him? That's kind of a fan. A follower is somebody who's willing to lay down their life. Somebody that's willing to lay down their plans, their hopes, their dreams, willing to say, yes, wherever you go, I will go. Kind of like in that video, and I just love that imagery of those sheep, following the shepherd. Following wherever that shepherd would go, it didn't matter where he went, they would follow him because they know him. And my prayer and my hope through this series is that you will be able to define for yourself, are you a follower? Are you really somebody who is fully committed to Christ, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? And that if you're just sitting on the sidelines, that you would move and come into and be a follower. If you're a follower, that you would even grow deeper with Christ through this. But for all of us, that we would just kind of open our eyes up and go, okay, what are we doing in this life? What are we living for? And what is faith all about? Because if we just kind of believe in something, it doesn't really matter. But if we give our lives up for it, I'm not saying physically, most of us aren't going to have to die here, but I'm talking about things that are important to you, maybe money, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's relationships. There's different things that God's asking us to give up. And hopefully you'll be able to give up those things and trade them for a deeper walk with Christ, because there's a lot of people asking, where are you, God? I can't find you. I can't feel you. I don't see you. Well, the problem is you're just sitting on the sideline. You're not engaged with him. The only time that you're going to feel the movement of God's Spirit in your life is when you are following him. And it's a blind follow at times. Now, it said, we kind of left the service last week and out of Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and it said this, Jesus said this, then he said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. I mean, Jesus says that you have to deny yourself in order to follow him. That's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I can't even deny myself of chocolate. I mean, Marcy brought some chocolate over, a dessert type thing to our house, and Amy brought a scotcheroos. Do you think I could deny myself? Absolutely not. I gorged. But Jesus says, I want you to deny yourself, that your hopes and your dreams and some of these things in life that you think are so important. I want you to deny yourself, and I want you to pick up the cross. What he means by that is sometimes it's going to feel like you're dying. It's going to be painful. But he says, I want you to do this daily. It's not just a one-time thing. This is a choice to go, I'm all in all the time. And you remember Jesus saying this last week in Scripture? He said, what good is it for us to gain all the things of the world if we forfeit our soul? What he's asking the question is, are you all in with him, or are you all in with the world? Because Jesus doesn't want a fan. He wants dedicated followers who are willing to say, I'm in. Don't know where you're going. Don't necessarily know what you're doing. Kind of afraid. But here am I. Every single day, when you hit that alarm clock, you're going, God, I'm yours. I'm going to follow you wherever you lead. Difficult, but it's rewarding and it's exciting. Well, this morning we're going to kind of shift a little bit, and I want to get into talking about it by just kind of giving my church background a little bit. I'm probably like a lot of you, honestly. In and out of church most of my life. Was in church as a young child. Things happened in the church. We're out of the church. Then we're kind of back in the church. We're out of the church. And then all of a sudden your teen years, in and out. And you know, 20s, you're in and out. I mean, just kind of in and out. And here's what I've been thinking about. Why is that our faith? Why is that how we do church or live for Christ? Why is that the normal pattern? I'd say that's more the norm than somebody who's just stuck it out their whole life. Kind of have these seasons. And what I would say is, this is what I kind of came to the conclusion. I started looking at following Jesus as Jesus says, kind of like Simon says. Remember the game Simon says? Simon says, sit in that chair. Go sit in that chair. Simon says, walk over to this side, over there. So then go back to the back of the sanctuary. Well, I'm out of the game because I just went back to the back of sanctuary, right? Because Simon didn't say go there. That's what I viewed my relationship with Christ as. If Jesus says do this, then I don't do this. If Jesus says do that, then I do this. I mean, I have to have these beliefs and I have to have this behavior. And I kept trying to do all those things because that's what Jesus says to do. But I kept failing miserably. I kept messing up. And then I'm like going, then why try? Why bother? And then what would happen is when I was kind of on the out because of I fell out because I couldn't do all the do things, I kind of actually enjoyed that because I didn't have all the rules. I didn't have all these things that were weighing me down. But then all of a sudden, there's something inside of me, which was God's Spirit pulling me back, going, you know, come on. You know, I'm not going to let you go. And all of a sudden, I'm back in church. I'm back in church. I'm doing good, following the do's, the don'ts, and the yes, I believe this, and yes, my behavior looks like this. And you know what happened then? I got really good at doing that. I started looking around at other people, and I started judging them. I started saying, why aren't they in the game anymore? How come they're on the outside? How come they're not doing this or that? I mean, can you believe they're doing that? They're horrible, wicked people. And then I started realizing that's not right either, because then I fell away again. And then all of a sudden, one morning when I'm setting out in the oddest place on an airboat in the middle of the lake at about 6:30 in the morning, a song, when I'm not with God, I'm kind of in my own life, a song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, that I heard probably when I was in 4 or 5 years old, just started going through my head over and over and over. And in that moment, it's like Jesus saying, are you going to choose me or the world? Are you going to be a fan where you believe? Or are you really going to commit your life to me and follow? And I remember when I made that choice, I started realizing something. Jesus didn't come into this world to say, do this, believe this. He came to establish a deep, intimate relationship with us. He wants. He doesn't want this thing where we're doing all the legal stuff, we're doing hold of all the laws and all the right things, and we're doing all the right things. He didn't come in for that. He came in to say, I want you to know who my Father is. Let me introduce you to him. My Father is your Father. By believing in him, putting your faith in me, he becomes your Father and you're his child. Not just an earthly father that has faults, but a perfect Father who loves you. In spite of you. A perfect Father who always has your best in mind. A perfect Father who wants intimacy with you. He says, let me introduce you to him. So you have a deep relationship. And Jesus said at other times, to show you how relational it is, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now he didn't say to the branches, go and do all these things. He said, no, abide in me. Live in me. Have relationship with me. And out of that, fruit will produce. Out of that, you will grow when you're engaged in him in a relationship. And he said, like we kind of saw in the scriptures in John, where he said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep, they know my voice. There's a lot of sheep out there. There's a ton of them. But mine, they know me intimately. And they follow me. They hear me above the things in this world. So he says, I've invited you into a deep, deep relationship. This morning, I want to talk about the word follow for a little bit this morning. So if you have your Bibles, and just open them up to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. So Jesus' invitation is very relational. It's not about do, correct this or correct that. It's just a simple, simple invitation. And it's to follow him right where you're at. And maybe you'll remember this story. This is a story about Matthew, one of his disciples. And at this time, Jesus is just starting his ministry. He's just called some of the first disciples. And the first disciples, you got Peter, James, John, and some of the guys that are in the boat and around that area. Do you remember that story where they're out fishing? And he says, come and follow me. And they just leave everything. They leave their family business and they start to follow him. You know, one thing that you got to understand, when they chose to follow him, they weren't believers yet. You know that? They were just kind of on the sideline. But through living with Christ and having a relationship with Christ, they moved from just this person who's checking him out to becoming a fully devoted follower where they would give up their lives. But he just tells them to come and follow me. Come and check me out a little bit here. And they begin to give up all these things and follow him. And he comes up to this other this next guy, Matthew. And it says this in verse 9. As Jesus went out from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector booth. So you just got to get this visual kind of image in your head. Here Jesus is walking with these disciples that he just called to follow me. And then all of a sudden they come up to a tax booth. And, you know, it's kind of like if you go into Chicago and you go across the Skyway, you got a tax booth every so often that you got to pay taxes to go on that road. Well, they had tax collectors, you know, in ports. They had tax collectors on the streets, tax collectors across the bridges. There's tax for wine. There's tax on your food. There's tax on everything, and people had to pay that. But these tax collectors, they were despised. They were like the lowest of the lows. They were like the bottom of the barrel in the eyes of their culture. I mean, they had their own category. You had sinners, which we're going to learn out about, and then you had tax collectors. Sinners were like one notch just above a tax collector. So they were the bottom of the barrel. Because what would happen is Rome would come into an area after they invaded it, and they'd say, okay, let's auction this off to the highest bidder. Whoever's the highest bidder, you get rights to collect taxes. Here's the taxes that we need. You can tax whatever you want, and you can keep that money. And so these people were part of their nation, and they were Jewish people. They would get rich from their own family and friends quite often. And they were just despised because they're like going, how could you do that to a friend? How could you do that to your family? And they just hated him. But Jesus kind of in this moment kind of walks up to this guy and begins a conversation. He doesn't say, go do this, go do that, clean your life up, get your act together, make sure that you've done all these things, and then come and follow me. But he just comes up to the tax collector who's collecting taxes and says, follow me. I mean, just picture that just for a moment. Tax collectors weren't used to somebody saying, hey, I want you to be with me. I'm actually what Jesus is saying. He says, I want you to be part of my inner circle is what he's saying. He's saying, I want to give you an opportunity to follow me, and I'll identify myself with you, and you can identify yourself with me. And in this moment, I mean, it had to be just shocking for Peter. I mean, I just kind of picture Peter. I mean, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. We just gave up fishing. We just gave up all this stuff. And now you're inviting a tax collector to be part of us? I mean, just kind of feel the tension, because there's a lot of tension going on that the Bible doesn't really say, but you just know it because of the people and because of this tax collector. He is despised. And they're like going, oh, now we're going to associate with a tax collector? And he says, follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. I mean, that's kind of a shocking statement, isn't it? Just put it all behind. Put aside all of your plans, all your hopes, your dreams. Come on, and follow me. Now, Jesus is known as a rabbi. Maybe you don't know what a rabbi is. A rabbi in their culture is a teacher. There's somebody that's looked at as they're very high intellect. That they know the scriptures. They knew at least the five books of the Bible, of the Old Testament, by heart. And they had all kinds of insight. And if you're a rabbi, people wanted to follow you. They wanted to gain insights from you because they looked up to you because you were really super smart. And what they would do in their culture is they would kind of establish schools while these kids were little. And they would bring them up through the schools. And they would kind of weed out the stupid ones, if you will. You know, the ones that maybe they weren't quite as bright, maybe intellectually, but maybe they had great common sense. But they thought, well, we want intellectual, so let's weed out this guy and let's put them back in their homes because they're never going to make a rabbi. So we're going to make them go back into their fishing career, like Peter, and like James and John and the rest of the disciples. They're like going, you're just not very smart. You just don't got it all together. But what would happen is if they identified you as being smart, and that you could be as somebody that could become like them because you wanted to become like a rabbi, you wanted to be able to teach like they taught, you wanted to be able to do the things that they did, then they would say, then you can follow me and you can observe and you can become part of what I'm doing here and you can glean from me. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's saying, I'm inviting you, Matthew. I'm inviting you to come and follow me. I know everybody else despises you. I know everybody thinks that you're the lowest of lows, but I don't. And I'm not asking you to do anything here, Matthew, but all that you can do is take some baby steps. I just want you to come and just follow me. Just go where I'm going. And what Jesus understood, it wasn't about rules. He understood it wasn't about the legal systems and being a religious person. He understood if somebody would just take a step towards him and begin to follow him, and they rubbed shoulders with him for a while, all of a sudden their lives would start changing because they see how good he is. They see that he really is who he says he is, the Son of the living God. And he understood that it was relationships that would draw people into this relationship where they're growing and they're changing, not because they're changing themselves, but because of they're falling in love with God. And they want to become like him. And so these things just kind of start shedding, and they look in the mirror, and eventually they go, that's not the same person that started following you. Matthew wasn't the same person. Matthew dropped his career and became a disciple. He wasn't collecting taxes anymore. He was spreading the gospel of Christ, what Christ did. But just get the tension back here for a moment. Think of Peter. Just think of what the other disciples are thinking. Well, first of all, Jesus, you invited him into a relationship with us. You wanted us to associate with the bottom of the barrel. You want us to be equal to that. And I can just imagine Peter's like going, well, okay, you said come and follow me. Okay, I can deal with that. Well, now where are we going? Well, Jesus and Matthew are walking. And Matthew pretty much is kind of, I think he's kind of going, I don't know where we're going. But then all of a sudden Jesus goes, let's go to your house. That's kind of amazing when I think about that scripture. That all of a sudden it's like he's going, let's go over and have dinner with the tax collector. Let's sit down with him. Look what it says in verse 10. It says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, it says, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. I mean, this was like one of those tension moments where you can see that the disciples going, this is not right for us. We don't like this because, you know, if you were a sinner, you know, you're probably a prostitute. You're probably a liar. You probably stole. I mean, you're just looked at, you're labeled as they're sinners. They're just bad. They do bad things. And then if you're a sinner and you're eating there, you're looking around the table and you're going, oh, there's tax collectors. Oh, we're better than the tax collectors. But the tax collectors, there's nobody lower than them. And it says that there's many of them there. I mean, that's Matthew's friends. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, come and follow me and I'll go where you're at. I know it's not going to be comfortable for you to go where I am right now, and because I know you can't get your act together. I know that you can't get rid of some of the stuff that you need to get rid of, but I'm going to go with you to your house where you're comfortable, Matthew. What's really unique, I think, about Scripture is Jesus was comfortable with people who were nothing like him. But then the people who were nothing like him were very comfortable with Jesus too. So Jesus is very comfortable in this moment, but you can just sense the disciples are going, oh. You mean you want us to go break bread with them? I mean, that was an intimate thing to do, to have dinner with people. You want us to sit around with them and just have small talk with them? We don't do this. We don't associate with those kind of people. And Jesus is like going, we got to flip this around. This is wrong. This is not right. The religious system of their day, what they would do is they made it so hard for people to get into a relationship with God. They would say, if you're a tax collector, because of who you are, because of the sin that you're in, you cannot go to the temple and worship because you're unclean. Or you're a prostitute, or you have all these, you're lying, you're cheating, whatever sins you're involved in. You cannot approach God. You cannot go to the temple. You got to do all these things. And then when you do all these things, and if you learn all these five books, and you learn all this stuff, and then you take a quiz, then you can come in with us. But Jesus goes, that's not how I work. I'm totally different. I'm taking you as you are, right where you are, tax collector, sinner. I'm comfortable with your sin. I'm okay with it. I don't like it, but I can be with you because here's what I know. You walk with me for a little while, you're going to see that sin and you're going to despise that sin. You're going to want to get rid of it because you'll see how good I am. And Jesus says, but I don't invite people into a relationship like a church quite often has said. The church says, clean it up. Get your act together. Know these books. Know this stuff. Believe this stuff. If you're a person who has been shunned by the church, you've left the church, or you've even been here and you felt shunned by us, I'm sorry. If we've ever made you feel like you are not worthy of coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ, I am sorry. That is not our Savior. Our Savior says you are worthy, no matter what sin you have. No matter how people look at you or no matter how this world may despise you, he says, you're good enough for me. Come and follow me, and I'll go with you. I'll go to where it's uncomfortable. That's hard for us to understand, because we're more like the disciples, and we're more like the Pharisees. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like that. I don't want to look at people and say, whoa, wait a minute, you got to have A, B, C, D, E, F, G in order, then you can come in. No, that's not what Christ says. Come on, follow me. And then there's onlookers kind of looking on the scene, and Jesus is being followed. And what I can tell you is these people were not good people. They were the Pharisees. They were the religious people. They're taking notes going, huh, this Jesus guy, he's a rabbi. He's like us. He goes to the temple. What is he doing associating with those dirty people? He should be associating with us. And Jesus is going, no, that's not it. But they're writing down these notes and going, you'll never believe what he did. He said to a tax collector, follow me. You can learn to be like me. You can walk in my shoes. And then he says to this tax collector, I love you right where you are. And this tax collector, which we despise, and we definitely, he has cooties, and we don't want to be in the same room with him. He's in the same room, associating with him. And they look onto this, and they're puzzled by it. They're disturbed by it, which some of you that are churchy people, religious people, you're probably disturbed by what I'm saying this morning. These people were disturbed by it. They look in on it, and they go, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, when they saw what? When they saw Jesus inviting people to follow him, when he saw Jesus breaking bread with people that were nothing like him, when he saw Jesus loving people who were sinners, loving people who are broken, they see that and they're like going, this isn't right, this is wrong. And so they begin to ask the Pharisees, it says, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? It's like, we're confused. This doesn't make any sense to us. Jesus knows what they're thinking. And it doesn't really tell us in Scripture, but it doesn't tell us if the disciples went out to talk to the Pharisees, but we know that the Pharisees didn't go into the house. So somehow they were getting messages, and maybe some of the disciples were even uncomfortable because they didn't want to sit at the same table with these people. But they're getting messages back and forth, and Jesus knows this, and it says this in verse 12. On hearing this, Jesus said, is it not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick? I mean, I think this was an awkward moment at that dinner. Think about being Matthew, all the other tax collectors, all the other sinners that are sitting there. Wait a minute, Jesus. Matthew kind of puts his hand up. You mean we're sick? I'm kind of offended by that. What do you mean I'm sick? And I can just see Jesus with a smile on his face going, Matthew, you're a tax collector. And these other people, look at what they're doing. They're sick. They need somebody. They need a savior. And it's like in that moment, Matthew's like going, oh, you're right. I am sick. And I can just imagine those other people around the table, you know, giving high fives, going, we're sick, woo, let's keep eating and drinking and partying. Jesus looks at them and goes, I'm here for you guys. Not those guys out there. Not the guys on the outside. And just imagine that tension between Jesus and that tension between the disciples and the tension of those people that are there. But Jesus says, I'm here for you. And here's what we kind of understand from that scripture. It's only when you and I understand that we need something. When we really understand that we are sick. You don't need a pastor to tell you that you fall short of the glory of God, that you don't measure up. You don't need a pastor to tell you that. You know that. You can't keep your own rules. You set up rules of how you're to do relationship with your spouse, how you're supposed to manage your household, your kids are supposed to do these things and those things, and you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that, but you can't even keep your own rules. You can't even keep the rules you give your kids. You know that you fall short. But it's only a woman, it's only when a man, it's only when a teenager, it's only when a child, it's only when a person recognizes that they need help and that they're sick, can Jesus actually do his greatest work. And it's like, he says, I'm here for the sick people, not the healthy ones Not those ones out there. And then verse 13, it goes on. He says, but go and learn what this means. And now he's speaking to the Pharisees. I mean, kind of offended the people inside were sick, yeah? But now he's kind of offending the people on the outside there a little bit. He says, go and learn what this means. And I'm sure the Pharisees were going, what do you mean? You're going to tell us what this means? I mean, we're smart. We know the Bible. We know what God has to say. You're going to teach us something? And Jesus takes the scripture out of Hosea and says these words. He says, but go and learn what it means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And then it kind of goes on. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner. I mean, just picture that moment. I mean, it's like the light bulb must have just had to spark in these disciples. Jesus is calling people. He's calling people to come and follow. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. And he looks at them and he goes, I like you, I like you, I like you. And they're nothing like the religious people. And he says, I didn't come for religious people. I came for the people who are far away from me, the people that have no clue about me. And they're not going to look anything like me. And I'm going to be where they are. For us church people who've been involved in church for a long time, I think this is something that you and I need to wake up to when it comes to following Christ. Because there's too many of us that like all the legal stuff. We like the rules. Here's what you believe. Here's what you do. Here's what you don't do. There's a problem with this. If that's your focus, if that's a church's focus, you become very legalistic. You start looking at other people and saying they are not worthy to follow God. They are not worthy to hear the calling of come and follow me just as you are. We look around at other people and we go, oh, they're so wicked. They're so wretched. How could he be with them? He wouldn't want them. And we've become a church that is very legalistic, looking down our nose at people, and we stop following. Following Jesus means this. If you're a believer, you're going to go where the sick people are. You're going to rub elbows with people that make you uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of a church who just focuses on this is what we believe. This is all important. What we believe is important, yes. That we do have a change in our heart and that we do behave different from this world. Those are important things. But if that's our sole focus, we've stopped following Christ. And we end up becoming toxic to the world around us. Because people cannot see the love of Christ at all. They don't see it. Out on Green Lake, you know I like to fish a lot. One of my I guess, vices. There's a certain man there that I run into every single time. This guy can string a whole line of swear words and make a sentence. And it kind of makes sense when he says it. I mean, I didn't know it could be an adjective, adverb, noun, and I just didn't understand that. And I've had several people ask me, why do you talk to him? Why do you even go around him? And the last couple times I've seen him, I felt drawn to him. And I can only tell you that it's God. Because naturally, I want to be on the other side of the lake. I want to be with the religious people. It's a lot easier. Somebody asked me, why, Kelly? Why do you talk to him? Because Jesus would have. Jesus would have looked at him and said, I came for him. He's sick. Kelly, you are my representative in this world. Are you going to follow me or are you going to be a Pharisee? And here's what we can see in this picture that Jesus gives us in this setting. You can either be in the room with Jesus following him or you can be on the outside and be a Pharisee. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in the room where he's dining, where he's doing stuff, where he's reaching people, and he's putting his life in an area where he's uncomfortable. But he's not uncomfortable with them. So you know what I'm going to do every time I see that guy? I'm going to do what I've been doing. How are you doing today? In fact, the last time, this is what he said. You're the pastor, aren't you? Put the church up there? Yep. Beep, 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 beep. yeah. I was like, whoa, okay. That was interesting. But you know what I'm going to keep doing? I'm going to keep giving him the little jigs that he likes when I have them. I'm going to keep talking to him because in hopes that one day he will see Christ. You see, when you and I focus on legal, focus on behavior, we stop following. And you and I as followers are called to be like Christ. That means going where it's uncomfortable. That means doing things that are uncomfortable. That means putting aside our church atmosphere and not being a Pharisee and going, you know what? If God's asking me to go be with this person, I need to go be with this person because he's asking me to. Not judging. Not going, get your act together. Hurry up and come to Jesus and get saved. No, it's, I love you right where you are. Come on. Come and follow my Savior. Just come. Because what I know, when I began following him, is when I started to love him. And it was the love that changed my heart. It's the love of God that changes us. What's so incredible in Scripture, it's not judgment. It is not fear that draws people to God. It's his gentleness. It's his kindness. And it's love. His love, that's what Paul says. It's his gentleness. You and I need to become that in this world. Put aside this church stuff. Put aside the things that maybe we need to hit erase in our brains and say, get rid of this out of me, God, because I want to follow you. I want to see people. I want to see them invited into a relationship right where they're at. And I don't want to put expectations on them because you know God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of a church that's just playing church. I don't want my family to be part of a church that's just playing church. Because here's what I know. You stop following Jesus and you stop falling in love with God. And if you stop falling in love with God, you become judgmental, you lose your joy, you lose your hope, and you look at everybody else in a negative light. That's not what we're called to do. Jesus is our example. He says, come on, just invite him. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're kind of going, I'm not sure about this church thing. I'm not sure I can give up all these things. You don't have to. All you have to do is go, come on, follow me. And as you walk with Christ, he'll do things to you. He'll change you in ways that you never thought he would change. He'll do it, not you. And this is what's so incredible about Scriptures. God does it all. But he says, I want a relationship. If we just follow, and there's just three or four things that I just want to touch on real quick. If we just follow, there's some things that we have to understand. Being a sinner does not disqualify you from following Jesus. You need to understand that. Jesus called the sinners to follow him. And you know another thing that you have to understand about following? You don't even have to believe to follow. Think about this for just a few minutes. The disciples, they didn't believe that he was the Son of the living God until 2 to 3 years into his ministry. In fact, one of them, called Thomas, which we call Doubting Thomas, even doubted after Jesus was crucified and put and placed in a tomb. He's like, I'll never believe that he raised from the dead. And Jesus appears and goes, Thomas, touch me. And Thomas is like, you are the one. But he was invited to follow. And he was following to the best of his ability. And the resurrected Savior changed him as well. So you don't have to necessarily believe. It's just an invitation to come and walk after him. And you know, another thing just that you have to understand about following, it's purely an invitation to a relationship. It's I want you to know me. You know why people fall in love with God? It's not because of rules. It's not because of behavior. It's because I saw him do something. You know, with my wife, you know why I am madly in love with my wife? It is not because I have 5 rules that I keep posted up on a mirror. Kelly, you will do this, you will do that, you're going to do this. You won't do that. It's because I chose to give her my heart. And I chose to love her. It's my love that keeps me faithful to her. And it's the same way with God. When we start to understand that it's about a relationship and we fall in love with God, all of a sudden you go, oh, I'm all in. I don't care what I lose in this world. I don't care what you ask me to do in this world, but I'll do it because I know you love me. And the last thing about following God that we have to kind of understand is when we start choosing to be a follower, it takes our focus off of everybody else. And we don't judge other people then. We start judging our own hearts. We start looking inward. So let me ask you the question. Are you a fan or a follower? I don't know about you, but I don't want to play church. I don't want to see another person hurt by our church or any other church because we are not following Christ. Because when we don't follow Christ, we become judgmental. And we think that people have to be this cookie cutter and they're going to be like this. That's not what Jesus says. He says, come on, follow me just as you are. And as you follow me just as you are, you will fall in love with me. And you will give your life to me. So what's keeping you from giving your life to Christ completely? What are you afraid of? You afraid that he's going to ask you to go to your neighbor's house? You afraid that he's going to have to go to a coworker? Are you afraid that he's going to ask you to maybe go into the local bar and actually talk to somebody? See, those are the things that Jesus did. If we're going to follow, we're going to be in very uncomfortable areas at times. But it's all for this, for the glory of God, that somebody would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior through us. Because God, for whatever reason, uses you and I in this follow. And it's only when you commit your heart to God that you can be used by him. Let him use you this week. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning and I thank you for Jesus and the things that he shows us. I thank you that he didn't come into this world and go, Kelly, you are such a wretched sinner. Get your act together. But he came into this world and said, follow me. I love you. I love you with all your baggage. I love you with all of your sin. I love you in spite of what you did last night. I love you in spite of what you're going to do tomorrow. But give your heart to me. God, help us to give our heart to you and truly follow you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org.